We're holding on site of Kesemet Aleph, seven lines from the top, the last word of the line. The line begins with Yasmi. We were discussing the question of how, in particular, how to understand our Mishnah when it talked about you had various cases where the Almana sold property, and it, where we say that various cases when we say that the sale is valid and whatever she got, and cases where we said that the sale is void. We had examples, we said, where if her ksuba was supposed to be 100 zuz and she sold property worth 101, then we said the sale was batal, and we were discussing, does that mean that the property was worth 101 or more, she got the actual value for it, 101 or more, or are we talking about that she only got 100 for it? Two different ways of looking at it, which then bears on the question that we were starting to deal with yesterday. And a person tells the shliach to sell a small amount of property. And instead, what's the matter? Okay. A person that we started with a discussion of a person tells the shliach to sell a small amount of land, and instead he sells a larger amount, which could be parallel to our case over here. If they tell her effectively that she's allowed to sell 100 dinars worth of property, and she sells 101, and we say it's bustled, then that would be that. On the other hand, if we say that the case is that she sold, that it was worth 101 and she got less for it than she's supposed to, that's a different case. So we discussed that we were in the middle of discussing how that fits with the Mishnah. We had several cases in the Mishnah, one of them being where she was only owed 100 and she sold property worth 101, and then we had the last case in the Mishnah where she's owed 400 and she sold things piecemeal. First 100, then 100, then 100, and then 101. And we said the last one is bottle.
So what's the question?
So the point is, we were saying that we wanted to say that maybe the reason why the Mishnah is telling us more than one case that involves her getting less for it than expected is because there's different cases. One is where it affects only her. One is where it affects the assignment. One is where it affects only her is, for example, the first three sales. If instead of taking property worth 100 and selling it for 100, she'd taken property worth 101 and sold it for 100, we would say that, okay, so you received so far 101, let's say. You physically only received $100, but the property was worth $101. Therefore, fine, you're down to $299. Same thing the second time, same thing the third time. As opposed to the last time, where it then affects the assignment, because at that point she's only supposed to be getting $100, and instead she sells $101. So the question is, if we're going to say that that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that's all the chiddush the Mishnah is trying to tell us, is there's a difference whether it affects the assignment versus where it just affects her. Don't we know that from the very first case of the Mishnah, that her ksuba was 200, she took property that was supposed to be worth 100 and sold it for 200, or it was supposed to be worth 200 and she only got 100 for it. We say either way, she received her ksuba. We don't say the sale is bottle. So obviously, yes, where it doesn't impinge on the assignment, where it's all within the amount that she's supposed to be getting, then everything's good. And it's her loss. So why would we need a later case to tell us the same thing?
In the first case,
her ksuba was 200. Her ksuba was 200. She takes property that's worth 200 and sells it for only 100. And we say, fine, she's received her ksuba. The fact that she only got 100 zuz means nothing. She was supposed to have gotten 200 for it.
To the assignment.
No, it doesn't mean anything to the assignment. It means, in other words, we say, the assignment teller, you received 200 zuz worth of kalka, you sold it for only 100, that's your problem, not ours. As opposed to the case where she's only owed 100, and she took property that was worth 101 and sold that. Those are two different things. But so from that first case of the Mishnah already, we know that as long as the value of the property, the nominal value of it, fits within what the assignment owe her, then she's entitled to do it. And if there's any losses, it's her losses. So we don't need the last part of the Mishnah to tell us the same thing, that if she sells piecemeal the first three times, it would be good. The answer is, still, you might argue there's a difference. In the case where she's supposed to get 200 and she took property worth 200 and sold it for 100, the difference is we would say, you know why it's good? Because at that point she has no further claims against that household. She took property that was worth 200, she sold it, or she sold it for less than 200, fine, that's her problem. But at this point, there's nothing further that she's able to take. There's no further claim that she can make to say there's more property that I need to take to sell. But over here, in the last case of the Mishnah, when she has 400 and she does it piecemeal, 100, 100, 100, Mao de Tamer, you might have thought. Not Mao de Tamer, Abel Hocha, Nigza Mona Rishon Atum Mona Achrin, you would think. Maybe we should say, even the first time, because what's going to happen? She's owed 400. So she takes property that's worth, we said in the Mishnah, she takes property that's worth 100 and sells it for 100 wonderful. Same thing the second time, same thing the third time. But we know there is going to be that last time. We know there is going to be that last time when she has to make sure to limit herself to a property that's worth 100. Because if at that point she takes one that's worth 101, the Mishnah had said the sale is bottled. Maybe you would think then, since the last sale, so you would think maybe that's too easily confused with the previous sales. Maybe in the previous sales also, if she undersells it, we shouldn't allow it. We should say the thing is bottled. Because what's going to happen at the end if she undersells it and she's going to think it's good and really it's not good? So maybe even the first times we should be careful to make sure that she's not underselling. That would be different than the first case of the Mishnah where there's no second time to do because it's a one-shot deal. Kamash Malan, that would be the Chiddush that we don't make such a Gzeira. We don't worry about that the first two or three times or whatever it is that she's selling. She undersells, that's her problem. The last time, if she takes more than the balance that she's owed and sells that, that's where the problem is, comes in.
And the other case where she just sells?
The other case, it's just a one-time thing.
She undersells?
She undersells, and it's her problem.
We
say that she, whatever she got is in payment of her ksuva, and that's that. She's not entitled to anything else.
And the other case, the three of them?
So with the three of them, that's the thing. We're saying she's owed 400, so the first time she goes and sells property worth 100. And so, let's say the first time she took property worth 101 or 110 or whatever, you can make up any numbers you want, and sold it for 100, we would say, yes. So at that point, she's received 101 out of her ksuva because the property was supposed to be worth 101. Now she's down to 299. She does that again. She's down to 198. Third time, down to 97. It's her loss each time. We're not worried about the fact that the fourth time, when she's only owed 97, that now she may, what's going to happen now, if she takes property worth 100 or 101 or whatever and sells it, there we say the sale is bottled. Maybe, therefore, we should extend that to the previous cases in order to avoid confusion. No, we're not worried about that. Yeah. So that's why that would be the chiddush. So that would be the chiddush of the Mishnah. So
when there's just one sale, then
you don't need to say that. So you have the three cases of the Mishnah, basically. Each one of them is telling us a different chiddush. The first one is telling us that if she undersells, it's her, and it all fits within what she's owed, then it's her problem. The second din tells us that if it doesn't fit within what she's owed, she's owed 100 and she sells for 101, whether she undersells or not, then the thing is bottle. And the third case, the case of the four mezuzahs, tells us that in that case we don't worry about that the earlier sales is for whatever she does is her loss. It's only the last sale that would be bought, not the earlier one.
And in the second case, what do we say?
The second case we're saying that she sold for more. She took property that was worth more than what she's owed at that point. Then we say it's bottle, but it's a one-shot deal. So therefore, we might have more reason to think that it's bottle that it's bottle because there's nothing else to confuse it with.
It's bottle
because she took more than she was supposed to. Because she's only supposed to be, she only has a shlichus to sell 100. Okay, that's all version one of the discussion that began with this question of if you have a person sent a shliach to sell a half base core, a base lesef, and instead he went and sold more base core, and then we were discussing all the pros and cons of that. The ikadamri, another version, haloti baylach. According to the second version, there's no question that if it was that case, that if he told him sell a lesser size and instead he sold a kur, which is twice that, then there's no question, according to the second version, that it's just considered he's adding to what the mishalayach told him, and therefore the sale is valid as far as that first lesser. Because the guy told him to sell a half an acre, he sold a whole acre. So fine, the first half acre is definitely sold. No question about that. Unlike the first version where we were asking, is that valid or not? Does the seller, the balabas have the right to retract it? Now we're saying that no, definitely not.
Because the
shlichus
was done.
And it was just added.
And the other case.
Kitiboyloch, the question on the other, the question would be the other way around. Domle zil zavanli kurva, also zavanli lischa. What if it's the other way around? He told the shliach, sell an acre, a kur, and instead he sold a half acre, or a lesser. So he sold less than what he was supposed to. My, so then the question would be, what's the din? Mi amrinin omle de tovaloch abdiloch. Can we say that the shliach can argue to the mishalayach? I didn't disobey your shlichus. What I accomplished is actually better for you. This way, what happens if you don't end up needing the money? You want to take back the sale. Like this, if I'd sold the whole base kur like you wanted, you would have lost the whole base kur. You can never get it back. Like this, at least you still have a lesser. You still have half a base kur. But we talked about a day or two ago, we have the case where a person sells property and then it turns out he doesn't need the money, and we discussed the cases when he can retract, when not. So here we'd be talking about a case where he ordinarily couldn't retract, and the shliach is telling him, therefore, so I helped you gain. Like this, you need the money, so fine, you'll sell the other lesser when you know, some other time. The Ran points out that it has to be, we have to be talking about a case where when he sells the other lesser, he will be getting a full half amount of the money. Because if it's going to be, for example, that because of the smaller parcel, people are going to pay less for it, then there's no question. The shliach doesn't have any arguments to make that I did things better for you. That's the verb. We're saying that what the Ran is saying is, if, for example, a base kur goes for 100 zuz and a lesach goes for 50, a lesach is a half a kur. So then, fine. You could argue the shliach is telling him, I didn't cause you a loss. You need that other 50. Fine. You can go ahead and sell the lesach whenever you see fit.
For 50.
As opposed to, for example, if the deal is a person would be willing to buy a kur for 100 and a lesach for 45, then there's no question the shliach has no argument.
But once he sold it, he has no control of it.
Well, so then we would say the sale is not a sale because now he's caused him a loss. You have the general rule is that the mishaleach is able to tell the shliach a concept. We'll talk about it, we'll quote it on other days. I sent you to do things good for me, not to mess things up. So yeah, if he messes up, if he makes it that now the remainder of the field can only be sold for 45, then there's no question that the shliach is bubble.
And you take back from the
okayach? You take back from the okayach, yeah. But if you would be able to sell the rest for 50, that's the question.
Right.
Can he argue that I made things better for you? Or maybe the mishaleach can argue, you know what, on the other hand, there's the drawback that you're causing that now there are more, that now there have to be more documents. Each time you sell a field, there's a separate document written up. So the verdict is, what's the problem? What's the problem with extra documents? So some rishon, what? So that's Tosfos mentions on Amud Beis. Yeah, it's probably you have to hire a sofer, you have to arrange for aid, it's a hassle. It's a hassle. Other Mephoshim talk about not necessarily. It's more just a matter of social standing. Like it makes it look like he's constantly selling, off his property, as opposed to it being a one shot. It looks bad when a person is selling his property over and over, like he's getting poorer and poorer or something. So that's the question. Amar Abchanin Misura Tashma. Let's bring a proof from another. Yesterday we had a case from the Ila. Today we'll have another one. Nothing like dinner shall tahav. If a mishaleach gives a shliach a gold dinner, which is worth 25 silver dinner, but amalai havali chaluk, he tells him, go buy me a shirt with it. He goes and brings him. He splits the money on the face of it. We're assuming he split the money. He bought him a shirt that's worth 3 coins and a talus that's worth the other 3. What coins? We're talking about tzloyim. There's 4 dinar to the seller. So if there's 25, silver dinar to the gold dinar, that's 6.25 tzloyim. So 6.25 tzloyim. So he bought the shirt for 3 and a talus for another 3.
6
altogether. And Tosfos has a long discussion over here about how exactly, I mean, Hebeslal, how do you have, since when, Tosfos says, since when is gold worth 24 or 25 times silver? And in Tosfos' time, the exchange rate between silver and gold was 12 to 1.
The weight may be
more. That's what Tosfos answers, that a gold dinner is thicker than a silver dinner. Yeah. Okay. Shnei Malu. So now, if it turns out that this gold dinner belonged to Hekdesh, then both of them, the Mishaleach and the Shliach, committed Me'ilah. So, Iyam et Mishleim Shliach ki ha'gavna oisa shlichusa yomoisa v'advarav havi. So if we say that in a case like that, where he was supposed to spend 6 shloim on the chaluk, on the shirt, and instead he only spent three, you're going to say that it's considered he did the shlichus, he just added to it, mishumachi balabayis mal. Well, therefore the balabayis committed me'ilah, because we said yesterday that the rule of shlichus shalavim kamoisai, not shlichus shalavim kamoisai, sorry, that ein shliach, the rule that ein shliach with dvar aveira does not apply to me'ilah. When you send somebody to commit me'ilah on your behalf, the me'ilah goes back to you, to the mishaleach. Except we said yesterday, according to the Rambam, except when there's other Yisurim involved. Here, there's no other Yisurim involved. We're talking B'shogeg. Most cases throughout Shas, when you're talking about Me'ilah, is usually B'shogeg, because B'meizid is not very interesting. B'meizid, you give the guy Malkus, and that's that. There's nothing really to talk about. It's the various Shogeg cases that get interesting, when who committed Me'ilah in what way. Yeah. So if you say that the shliach who was supposed to buy a $6 chaluk and instead bought a $3 one, so he fulfilled the shlichus. He bought a shirt for half the money. He also used the other half the money to buy a talis, which the guy didn't tell him to do. Therefore, we would say the shliach is chayev for the money that was used to buy the chaluk, and the shliach is chayev for what he did on his own, that he used some of it to buy a talis. But if you say it's considered in that case, shliach violated what the mishaleach told him, am I mal? Then why did the balabas do me'ilah? The general rule is that when is the balabas chayiv from me'ilah? Only if the shliach did what he was told. If you're going to say it's not considered the shliach did what he was told, then the balabas should be potter. And applying to our case, he told him to sell a kur, and instead he sold a lasech, you would argue the same thing. The shliach did not fulfill what he did. He sold less than what he was supposed to do. Therefore, the whole thing is bottle. The shlichus is bottle, but if the shlichus is bottle, the balabayas should be potter. Obviously, that means the shlichus is not bottle. And therefore, in the case of the lesech and the kur, the lesech is validly sold. The answer is not necessarily my skin and shabbish. No, because what you're talking about over here is the shliach brought back a shirt which was he spent three sloyim on it, but he actually got a shirt that's worth six. The guy gave him a discount. He was able to buy a shirt that's worth twice what he paid for it. So therefore, the balabas told him, the mishaleach told him, buy me a shirt that's worth six sloyim. Here's a shirt that's worth six sloyim. The fact that I paid less for it, fine. That means that therefore the other three that I spent was on my own volition and on my own responsibility, and therefore I'm chayiv me'ilah for that. But you're chayiv me'ilah for yours because ultimately you got what you wanted. You got a shirt worth six sloyim. That doesn't prove in our case over here where we're talking about the lesach and the kur, where you only sold half the field and got half the money.
Then for the shirt, he still didn't do this thing. The shirt said. He told him to buy a shirt
that's worth a certain amount. At this point, it's worth. So it's worth six lions. If you were to go and sell that shirt to somebody else, you could get six lions for it. In this particular store, they were having a 50% off sale, so you got it for three lions. That would be the argument. That Mishnah is not a proof for our case over here where you didn't get. Question is, Yahki Shliach Hamaimal. So what Me'ilah did the Shlichus do? Did the Shliach do? And the answer is Atalis. He did Me'ilah as far as the Talis. Why? Because Tosfos points out that the Gemara's question, when the Gemara asked what Me'ilah did the Shliach do in that case, because the Gemara assumed that when the Mishaleach sends him with six sloyim, with a gold dinner, he's effectively telling him, if you manage to get it for less, then buy something else with the extra, with the change. That would be what we assumed. And the Gemara answers that no, he meant spend the whole six sloyim on the shirt. So now the fact that the guy managed to find a bargain and decided on that when he bought the palace, that was completely on his own, not from the Mishaleach. Therefore, he's chayav. Question is, Yihachi Eima Sefer. Well, how does that fit then with the Sefer? The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda Eima Afbazeh Balabayis Lemal. Also in this case, the Balabas has not committed Me'ilah. Also, so he's referring to the previous part of the Mishnah there in Me'ilah, talks about a case where a person sends his shliach to the store to buy fruit. Similar idea. He gives him a prutah to buy an esrog, and the guy comes back with an esrog and a pomegranate. You see, by the way, how cheap a esrog were in those days. But it's not necessarily a surrogate that are usable on sukkahs, but whatever, anyway. And Rabbi Yehuda argues over there and says that the Balabas didn't commit Me'ilah. Here also, Rabbi Yehuda says, after that Balabai Slemal, also in this case, the Balabas didn't commit Me'ilah, because he can argue, he can say, what do you mean you did my Shlichus? I was looking for a big shirt. You brought me a small bad one.
If it's a small
friend. What does that mean? The pashtus, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, I expected you to get me a $6 shirt. You got me a $3 shirt, why is it $3? Because it's smaller and it's cheaper material. So therefore, that has to mean that Itaka only spent $3 on the shirt. That's three slayim on the shirt. Not like you want to assume that he actually, that he spent three slayim and got a shirt that really is worth only three slayim. That's why Rabbi Yehuda is arguing that he can say Mashluchos is bottle. Not like we wanted to try and infer and say that he spent three slayim and bought and got something worth six. From what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, it sounds pretty clearly that what he got is actually worth only half of what the Meshaleach expected.
True, the Meshaleach is worth less because it's not his size, but really the shirt could be worth six.
No. When it was cotton vira, we were small and bad.
True, the point.
But that's the point. In other words, if we're saying, if according to our assumption, if we were trying to explain, he spent only three sloyim and he got a shirt worth six sloyim because it was on clearance. But why? From what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if the Meshaleach gets back a shirt that really is worth six sloyim, then he has no complaint. What kind of cotton vira? It's my size, and it's exactly what I wanted. You spent less for it. Wonderful. I got a bargain. The fact that the guy is able to argue that it's cotton vira implies that you spent less, and you actually got something that's not my size, and that's not the style I want. Which means that he only got something that really is worth three slayim. But that's not what we were explaining. So therefore, that would prove that because he only spent three slayim and got a shirt that really is only worth three slayim, we say, according to the Tanakhama, nevertheless, the Shlichus was fulfilled. You wanted a shirt, you got a shirt. And applying that to the case of the Lefnech on the Kur, we would say the Lefnech is considered validly sold. We're trying to prove that not. So from Rabbi Yehuda's statement, we see that that's what it is. The answer is no. My ra b'domim. No, what does he mean when he says that it's small and that it's bad? He means it's bad as far as the money. Namely, to Amalei, because he argues like this. He isisli b'shif. Okay, but you know what? I gave you six slayim. I was expecting you to spend the whole six slayim. Fine. So you found a store where they're selling everything 50% off. But you know what? If you had, in that case, you should have spent the whole six, and you would have gotten something kosher to have a Shabbat Haji today. You could have gotten something that would have been worth 12, or even more than, actually, Tosafot says even more than 12, because the more you're spending, the deeper a discount they're going to give you.
But that's not the reason. The reason is you didn't spend the six.
But that's the thing. He's saying, in other words, he's telling him, in other words, I gave you six. If you had found a store that was to spend, if you just went to a store that just sells them at cost price, then fine, you would have spent six, got something worth six, and that would be that. My shlichus was done. In this case, you chose to say, you know what, I'm in a store that's offering bargains, so you know what, I'll spend less and I'll use the money to get something else. Who told you to do that? Rabbi Yehuda is arguing. I would argue, I wanted you to spend the whole six. If that means, therefore, you're going to get something that's worth 12 and a half, all the better. For me, that's ra, in the sense that I could have gotten something better and worth more than double what instead of just getting 50% off, it could have been 60% off, and you prevented me from doing that.
But are we saying that he wanted to sell to buy six worth more?
He wanted him to spend $6 on a shirt.
Worth six or worth more?
If he had gotten to a store that sells a shirt that's worth six for six, then fine. But he's saying, once you got to a store that's offering bargains, you shouldn't have decided on your own, you know what, I'm going to spend less and get something that's worth the same amount. Buy, spend the whole six and get an even better shirt. Get something that's worth 12 and a half or 13 or whatever.
Would that not be worth less than the shirt?
No, of course not worth less than six, no.
One cut for the shirt, less cut.
Yes. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda may well mean that he got a shirt that is indeed worth six by spending less than six. But the Balabas can argue to him, you know what, I still would have rathered, that's still not my shlichus because I expected you to spend the whole six and get for that whatever you can get for six, as opposed to whatever you can get for three. And the Gemara points out, Jekanami, in fact, we can prove that when Rabbi Yehuda says ra, he doesn't mean it's bad as in its lower quality. but rather he means ra, it's bad in the sense that you should have spent all the money and gotten a bigger bargain. How do we see that? Tichatani, because the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda b'kitnis sheshneim malu. Rabbi Yehuda does agree when it comes to if instead of sending him to the store to buy a shirt, if instead he sent him to buy beans, then and he brought back beans plus something else, where again he spent less on the beans and more on, and used the change for something else, sheshneim malu, then Rabbi Yehuda would agree both of them did me'ilah. Shakitnis the sell of a kitnis the perupta, because both the shliach and the mishlach. Shakitnis the seller, of a kitnis the perupta, because the same kitnis that you buy for a seller, you buy proportionally for a perupta. As the Gemara is going to point out in a couple of lines, the Gemara is going to point out in a couple of lines, we're talking about a case where they have standard size containers of kitnis that they sell they sell 1 pound per prutta, let's say. So they sell 1 pound per prutta. So if you're buying 1 pound, you pay 1 prutta. If you're buying 2 pounds, you pay 2 pruttas, etc. You're getting the exact amount, whether you spend a little or a lot. So therefore, he's telling him. So what's the point? In other words, so when the mishalayach sends him to the store to buy kitnis, and he gives him a sella, let's say, he tells him buy me a sella's worth of kitnis. Instead, the guy comes back with half a sella worth of kitnis and a half a sella of something else. The argument is, I didn't make you lose out anything by that. Because you need more beans. Fine, you're still able to go to the store and buy more beans. It's not like you would have gotten a discount. It's not like you would have gotten more beans for the same amount of money. It's a standard amount per person. Therefore, that's why Rabbi Yehuda is saying that they both committed mi'ilah, because there the shlichus has been fulfilled. So we see from that Rabbi Yehuda is distinguishing between cases where the mishalayach could have expected a discount versus not. The volume discount from the
Mishalayach.
But that's the thing. If they sell them at a fixed price, then one second. So wait. You can buy more at the same price. Okay, wait.
You sold to do it and you didn't do it.
But that's the thing. At least as far as the amount that he spent, that was the shlichus of the balabas. He was told to
spend.
He spent some of it on kitnis. For that sum of it, Mishalayach was chayev. For the rest that he spent on something else, now Shliach is going to be chayev. Because that was on his own. Chayev Mila, of course we're talking about Chayev Mila. So Shema Amino, that proves. And the question, well, that proves that Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between cases where you could have expected a discount for paying for where you're buying more at the same time versus not. And let's continue that argument. Now, what are we talking about? Elaim ba'asri de bezabni b'shtruma. If we're talking about the kind of place where they sell beans, where they sell beans by estimate, not by exact amount, well, then yes, the mishalayach have the same argument. If you were to spend a whole sell on beans, you would have gotten a volume discount, because the more you spend, the more they're going to pour into the container. I'm going to pop up ba'asri de kaili b'kani. No, we're talking about a case where they sell them in fixed size containers. Each container is worth prutta. So like we just said, the fact that I only spent half the seller on beans and I spent half the seller on something else, you didn't lose anything, right? You wouldn't have gotten a volume discount on any more. So therefore, I fulfilled my shlichus as far as that half a seller. The other half a seller, yeah, is on me. And therefore, both of them are high middle. We see from that discussion that a prohibitor would distinguish between cases of volume discounts and not, and therefore, applying that back to our case. So here we can say the fact that a prohibitor says in the case of the talus, you brought me back a bad talus, doesn't mean that I'm upset that my shlichus wasn't fulfilled because you brought me something that's less than I expected, but rather because you could have gotten me a volume discount and you didn't. Not volume, but whatever, a price discount. You were spending more, you would have gotten a bigger bargain. Instead of spending half and getting 50% off, you could have spent the whole thing and gotten 50% off. So returning to our case of here, but the left that's in the core, then So what would that mean? It would mean that the Mishnah doesn't really bear on that case of the less become the core. Because the less become the core the is you sold only half. You sold the case of the palace. And in the case of the palace, you bought a palace that is worth the whole amount. We're saying the volume discount thing is not really correct. We're saying it's not really applicable over here.
Right. So
we're saying that's the point. We're saying therefore that Mishnah doesn't really bear on our case and left us on the court. We don't really have a proof. Okay. Toshma, come, let's bring another proof to this.
This pointer of the Yehuda would agree if there was a volume discount, would the Sharia have the obligation to stipulate that to the Sharia that he could get a volume discount or it was implied and he didn't have to?
It seems it was implied. I mean, according to Yehuda, the fact he can argue afterwards you should have done things in a way to get a volume discount. The fact that you didn't means that that you didn't accomplish the shlichus the way I want.
Said to the Shia beforehand, he must have implied it.
But that's the thing. That Rabbi
Yehuda
considers that that's implied.
Right.
Right. Okay. Tashma, we have the last case of our Mishnah. A woman's sukkah was 400 zuz. Makro lezevamana lezevamana. She sold piecemeal. One field was worth 100, another field was worth 100. Olaf and Yafamana beginning bimana. And she sold the last one for a piece of property, 101, worth 101 dinar, selling it for 100. Which again, we have two possibilities before whether it meant that she only got 100 for it, or that she was only over 100 at that point. Shall ask the bottle, which I'll call it Mikra and Kaya. We said the last sale is bottle, all the other ones are valid. Now what's the point? The Gemara's point in bringing this in over here is she was entitled to wait. She was entitled to 400 zuz at the beginning. Effectively, she had the shlichus on behalf of the Yishayim to sell 400 zuz worth of karka. What is she doing? She's selling 100 here or 100 there. As we're saying, those sales are valid. The only thing, the last one is not valid because she took more karka than the balance that she owed. But what does that mean, therefore? It's sold. Well, she took and sold it. But what does that mean? It means that even though they gave her a shlichus to sell 400 and she sold only 100, that's good. That should apply the same thing as our case over here. The Mishaleach told him to sell a kur. He sold less than, which is half that. That should answer the question. Yes, that's valid. He has a valid argument that I made things better for you because now you have the option when you next time you need the money you can sell the other half. Same thing over here. We see the fact that she sold them piecemeal is fine. Otherwise, the mission should have said that it's no good unless she sells for the whole 400 at once. The answer is not that doesn't prove anything because to the Amr of Shisha Breder of Kibbutzini, just like Rav Shisha Breder of Midi said at the very end of the story, right before the Mishnah, that we're talking about a case of small plots of land. Meaning, when we say that she sold a plot for 100, a plot for 100, a plot for 100, etc., we don't mean it was one big field that she decided to subdivide. We're talking about there were different little plots of land here scattered all around, here and there. No one person is going to buy them anyway. Lachatchila, you're going to have one person is going to buy one, another one is going to buy another one. So therefore, in that case, not so much no loss, but in that case, they themselves didn't expect her to go and find one buyer for the whole 400 zuz. That's different than our case, where Lachatchila, he told him, go sell a kur. Who are you going to be selling it to? You're going to be selling it for Vashas, to one person. So Hakanami Bittini, so the same thing over here, we could be talking about a small plot of land.
Why should we say that about a
court?
He never mentioned
that a court
to one, no more than one person.
So that's because that's the next piece, the next line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Pshita, it's obvious that Amal Ech Boladashnaim, if he said, I want you to sell to one person and not to two, well then, if he goes and sells to two, if he goes and sells the left at a time, Amal Ech Boladashnaim, well then, the sale is also because he told him only one. But what if he just says to one, Sam? He doesn't say to one but not two. He just says sell to one person, which Chabas Yair points out. No, because Chabas Yair points out that it could be a figure of speech. Like he says, Echad doesn't necessarily mean one person. Echad can mean somebody. Go find somebody to buy this property. I don't care whether it's one somebody or a dozen somebody. Now, the question is, before we get to the discussion, the question is, we just finished discussing, we were just in the middle of discussing this issue of when you sell the last instead of the whole core, whether it's valid or not. We still haven't gotten to a resolution yet. How is the governor hold a sentence saying over here that it's obvious that if he tells them sell us to one and he said sell us to one why is the governor asking again the question of what happens if he tells them sell it to one, does it mean only one or does it mean more than one? We still have open the question whether Bechlal a piecemeal sale like that is valid. A couple of different possibilities to understand it.
Why shouldn't it be valid?
But we were just discussing, because what was the original question we had? You were supposed to. The pashas when you say if you sell it. So one second, if you tell them sell a kur and he sells a lesech, the lechora he's selling to one person and then he's going to sell the and he's selling him later on. Fine, you Mishalei have the option to sell the other lesech to some other person whenever you want to. But that's exactly
what
the Mishalaya told him. Right. The Shliach on his own went and sold only a Masech.
Yes.
And we were asking, is that good or not?
Yes.
Now why are we before we've even resolved that, we're getting into the question if he tells him sell to one. When he tells him sell to one, that also implies sell to one. And you're asking on the basis, but did he fulfill the shlichus by selling only half or not? Why are we getting now into the question of whether one includes two or more? If the answer were to be that two or more is valid, then that would answer the previous question, but we haven't finished it yet.
He could sell one to two times, after the quarter one time, and after the quarter another time, and still to one person.
So Rav Chaim Goin explains that when we say pshita over here, it's not a new discussion. It's a continuation of previous discussion. Bottom line, if he sells only the lesser, what's the deal? And we're saying, therefore, that if he tells him that if the Chachila told him sell us only to one, then it means Zafka and not two, then it means Zafka only one. But otherwise, then we're going to discuss over here whether one includes more than one. In other words, one buyer. In other words, continuation of previous discussion. It's continuation of previous discussion. He only sold a half of it. What did the Mishalayah actually tell him at the beginning? Then when he told him sell the core, did tell him specifically only sell it to one person, not two? I don't want to provide it. Or did he just tell him, go find somebody to buy it? And then we'd be discussing whether it's good enough if he splits it or not. So the Pai Garn learns that that's actually a continuation of the previous case.
It is, because...
Well, a number of other Rishonim say that, no, it's actually not a continuation. Because before we were discussing the issue that why would the Shalach be able to argue that it's no good, because he said, I don't want there to be so many shtaris. I don't want to have to bother with finding a sofer and take him for his chapter. That really implication, that's what he said before. To begin with, when he tells him, I sold only half of it, is it I did you a favor because now you have the option either feeding this half or selling it whenever you want, or can the Shalayah come to him, I don't want more shtaris. So the Pat learned that, therefore, the previous Gemara was talking about when it was actually two shtaris. He sold one lesser to one person, and now he's looking for another buyer for the other lesser. All Gemara is talking about, yes, it's two different buyers, but it's all written in one shtar. So a shtar is written out saying that on such and such a date, I sold this half of the property Reuben and this half to Shimon. So then, who said you have to keep it? They can put it in escrow. So that's how Tosfos explained. But now we're talking new case. Before we were talking about where you're selling to two different buyers and each one has their own shtar. Now we're talking about a new case where you're selling to two buyers with one shtar. So then the argument would be fine. If Mishalech specifically told him, I don't want two buyers, well, of course, no question. But if he just tells him, find somebody, then does somebody that mean one, or does it mean even more than one is fine as long as it's only one shot? So, Rukhin. So that's the Rebbe Tam. So we have sort of high going is explaining a continuation of previous discussion, and that having, so we left it open, and now we're getting, like, what's the bottom line? And the point of time, we're talking about the new case. Rav Chisda and Rabbah Rav Huna Dami Tavayu, it means, and Rav Chisda and Rabbah Rav Huna both say, it means, L'echad Vapil L'shnayim, L'echad Vapil L'meya. No, when he says, go sell it to somebody, it means anybody. It means even if it's two people, even if it's 100 people. According to Rav Haggain, means that as long as he didn't tell him, don't sell it to more than one person, then it would work. And according to Rav Tam, if it's all written in one shtar, then it's fine.
If it's not.
If not, then he would have the argument that I don't want more shtar.
And then the sale
would
not
be valid. Okay, so Gemara tells, Kiklut of Nachman was Surah. What way? Kiklut of Nachman was Surah. Rav Nachman visited Surah. Ulugabe Rav Chisda and Rav Baragona. So these same two Rav Chisda and Rav Baragona came to visit him. Amr Leki Hai Gavimai. So they asked him, what would be the din in this case? Yeah, they set the din themselves, so they want to check with him. They want to check with him. Yes, it means one, it can mean even two, it can mean 100. Well then, but they tell him in that case, if you're saying that, so if you're telling me that the shliach basically can act with a free hand, so what would happen if the shliach makes a mistake? What happens, for example, if he undervalued it? You're telling me that the shliach has the discretion to say that la'echad means I can sell in parcels to as many people as I want. Are you saying by the same token, if the shliach were to make a mistake in the valuation, that the sales would still be valid? And we're going
to
talk about the connection is that we're allowing the shliach a free hand to do the sales as he sees fit. So the same way as if a person sells his own property, we said the other day, and we're going to talk about in the next piece of Gemara, Eino Nala Kakari, that the din of Eino doesn't apply to property, so even you undersold it, whatever sold is sold. If we're saying that the shliach is able to act pretty much as if he was the balabas, then are you saying that would apply the same thing, that even if he undervalued it, that the sale would be valid?
Can he sell to one or several? We said he can sell to several. We haven't said he could undervalue the sale.
But he didn't specify.
In previous cases, when there was under sale,
Since you hold, Rav Nachman, that if the Meshaleach didn't specify, he told Daita Shliach Lachas Kitzonah, then it means that he allowed Shliach to do however he wants. The Hachi Amit Le'elach Abasul Lameach, because you just said that it means when he says Echad, it means he can sell to 100 different people. Hachanami Lema, shouldn't we say the same thing? After the Pusay, Nirtu Lalachas Achadaita. Nisratu Lalachas Achadaita, shouldn't we argue that, hello, that it means by the same token that even if the Shliach makes a mistake, fine, the Meshaleach is saying, you know what, I wouldn't prefer it that way. The same way as the Echad. He's saying, I would prefer to have it sold to one person, but I'm willing to accept the fact that it sold to 100 different people. So maybe with the same token, he made a mistake, I'm willing to accept it. And the answer, yes. No, I'm not talking about the case where the Shliach made a mistake. Okay, they ask him, but Amar in Einar l'Karkai. Why don't we learn that there's no Einar as far as Karka?
Meaning there's no.
Meaning that if you undersell or oversell it, then the dinim of Einar don't apply. The normal dinim of Einar are if the overcharge or undercharge is less than 1/6, then we say you're mutchal on it. For anything, for metalsilin. So you have something that's supposed to be worth $5, and you sell it for $5.50, so that's it. We assume the guy was medical. If you sell it for $6, which is, so therefore you have 1/6 over, then the din is kano max right now. The kinyan was a kinyan, but you have to refund the overcharge, or if it was the other way around, if it was supposed to be worth $6 and you bought it for $5, then you have to give the seller the extra dollar. That's what we're talking about. Wait, and if it's more than 1/6, then if it's more than 1/6, then whoever it was that was defrauded has the right to cancel the whole transaction.
Right.
We're saying all that doesn't apply to Karka.
Right.
So by the same way as if the Meshaleach himself were to sell the Karka and undervalue it, the sale would still be valid because Eino Noel the Karka. Why isn't it the same thing? So if the Shliach does the same thing.
Because even though there's no Karka, it doesn't mean the Shliach is able to it. Even if there's no...
Well, that's what we're going to answer. Wait. But at this point in the discussion, they're asking him, if you're saying that the shliach, das, stands in place of the shaliach, well, fine. The same way that the shaliach, das, would allow for underselling.
So why not necessary for the other?
But that's
you could argue one way, but you
well, that's what he's going to answer.
But it's unlikely based
on the previous cases. It's not so unlikely. As a matter of fact, actually, the fact is, $800 for kos should mean, again, the same way as, that's what Tosfos was saying, the same way as Mishalayach can say, you know what, I would have liked you to sell it to one person, but I didn't explicitly tell you don't sell it to two, so therefore, fine, I'm willing to live with it. The same way, I didn't explicitly tell you to sell it for its actual value. I would have assumed you would. You didn't, but wait, we're going to get there. Wait. Now, what is this Olamar? So Rashi says it's actually referring to a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, from which we learn that Einu Nalak HaKos. Tosfos quotes a different Girsa. Rashi actually changed the Girsa. Tosfos quotes the original Girsa, that V'Homar Hu De'Omar, you yourself, Rav Nachman, in connection with Dinim Bar Metzra, have said Einu Nalak HaKos. So either way, the idea is it's an established fact, and you yourself are saying Einu Nalak HaKos. Why should it be different if it's a Shliach rather than a Mishalech? And yes, there's not even the case of the Sabalabai. Yes, if the Sabalabai himself makes a mistake, then fine. It was done. Avotar Shliach, but when the Shliach makes a mistake, then you have on the way, they have the expression that we mentioned before, that he can tell I sent you to do the right thing for me, not to mess things up. So yes, in that sense, so when it comes to selling to two or 100 people or whatever, that doesn't mess anything up for me, especially if one should have been in half out of soul in one shot. But underselling that messes things up for me, and I didn't authorize you to do that.
Even implicitly.
Yes. Umanah tamer the shani ben shliach the balabai. It's weird we see such a thing that there's a difference between what the shliach does and what the balabai does. Even though the shliach stands in place of the shaliach, still if he makes a mistake, then it's no good. It's not. We learn in the Mishnah. Ha'omel shluchet seyut shloim. If somebody tells the shliach, go take truma from my produce. What he should do is to take truma according to the das of the balabais. There's three amounts that can be given as truma. The rule is like this. Minat Torah, you can give any amount. Chitachas, kateras, sakri, you can give one grain of wheat out of a whole stack and you go to the mitzvah of truma. Midrabanan is a minimum amount. Tosfos quotes from Yerushalmi that we learned, that we darshan it from a pasuk in Yechezkel. The rule, Ayin Yafa, a generous person, gives truma echad ma'boy in 1/40, 2.5%. Benini is 1/50, 2%. Ayin Ra is 1/60, 1.6%. So therefore, now the shliach should figure out what the das of the balabais is. He should have an idea. Is this balabais a generous person, or an average person, or a stingy person, and give accordingly. If any of dad asks the idea of balabais, if he doesn't know what kind of person the balabais is, turn him away. Second, the he should give the average 1/50.
Why shouldn't ask it if he doesn't know?
You can't ask him. They didn't have phones in those days. He sent him my stack of grain is 3 days trip away. Go take truma from it.
If he doesn't know, then he doesn't
want 50. Okay. If he did 10 less or 10 more, or 10 less or 10 more, Rashi over here says that 10 less means 10 percentage points less. So not percentage points. So 10 less in the denominator. So 1/40 instead of you're giving more truma, you have less chulin left over. And Hoyis Masara would be the other way around. He gives 1/60 that he's doing less truma but more left over for the balabai. Tosfos in a couple of other places says the other way around. Whatever, it doesn't really change the chat. Either way, it means if he did 1/40 or 1/60 truma to truma, then his truma is still valid truma because all of those are reasonable things that the balabas could have wanted. So it's similar to the case of telling you sell it to somebody and he ends up selling it to many somebody. But the point is, what's the point? What if he were to give less than 1/60 or more than 1/40? No good. Because those are the ranges. The ilu gabi balabais tanya, whereas when it comes to the balabais himself giving truma, we learn in a brisa, tara for all of the yada afilu echad me'esrim. What if a person takes truma and he winds up picking out even 1/20th, which is twice what even a generous person would give, 5%? Truma is truma. Then it's truma is a truma. So we see it now. But yes, the balabais.
1/40th to 1/50th.
Right. He gave 1/20th, which is twice that. Yes. Or three times that. Well, the point is, because he's a balabai, it's fine. He made a mistake. It's still valid. When it comes to a shliach, you have the konishtachich l'avzi rule that you can say, I didn't send you on shlichos to mess things up.
According to Rav Nachman.
That's what Rav Nachman is pointing out. We can prove from that Mishnah that we can prove from that Mishnah that that's the case. Even when a Baal Bayis is sending a shliach carte blanche and telling him you can do whatever you see fit in my name, it's still there's still rules about it. It still has to fit within what's reasonable that the Baal Bayis himself would have done. Even though the Baal Bayis himself has more leeway. Toshma. Again, let's try to prove from our Mishnah. We said if a ksuba was 400 zuz, machar lezev mana, lezev mana, v'la achan shava mea v'dinah, v'mana, she sold 100, 100, and then 101 for 100. Shal achan batal, shal kulin mikran kayim. We said the last one is batal, all the other ones are still valid. So going back to the idea that the guy has the right to argue, I don't want so many shtaris, in this case, there's a lot of shtaris. The answer is the Amar of Shishib Rei D'Ravini B'Tzidi. So here's where Rav Shishib Rei D'Ravini said his original statement that we're talking about that it's small plots of land. They knew that you're never going to get one person to buy all of them. You're necessarily going to be selling each one to a different person. And therefore, the less rare, of course, they know there's going to be many shtaris. There's no other way to do it.
No other way to do it.
But that doesn't prove, that wouldn't prove that if it was a problem of too many shtaris, that ordinarily that would work. Okay. Excuse me. We have a couple of minutes. Do the Mishnah and a little bit of the Gemara. I want to try to see if we can get a little bit ahead because we're going to be coming up at the end of the week. We've got Kuf Gimel, Kuf Dalet, which are very large, and I got the dick. Mishnah says, Shuma Dayanim Shepichsu Shus Ayesikru Shus. When Dayanim evaluate the field, if they undervalued it by a sixth or overvalued it by a sixth, and then a sixth, Michrin Batel, then the sale is Batel. Even though we said before, but we have in the case of Beis Din selling on behalf of somebody, we make different rules. In the case of Pichsu Shus is because they undervalued it. Now the Yisoyimim are losing out by it. Why in the case of Yisipur Shus, there's a few different explanations that Rishonim give. One is just it's a matter of equity. If it's fair that we're going to make a takana that the sale should be voided when it's undervalued and the Yisoyimim are losing out, it's only fair to do it the other way around. If it was overvalued to the buyers and the buyers are losing out.
The question is in the amount of what?
In the amount, the same one sixth.
One sixth.
Because one sixth is the usual amount that we do for a nah when it comes to metalcolin. So here it's calcul, but still we're gonna use the same figure. Right? Rav Shimon Gamliel and Michran Kaim. Rav Shimon Gamliel says what they sold is valid. Because in Kain Makayach Beis Din Yafa, because otherwise what good is Beis Din? In other words, the fact Beis Din has to have more power than the average person. So what does he mean? Does he mean no matter what they sold it for, that will deal with in the Gemara? But if they wrote a letter of checking it out, which is they made announcements, as we talked about the other day, they make public announcements that we have this field for sale and anybody who wants an auction, yeah, and anybody else. Yeah. So then So then even if they sold something that was supposed to be worth 100 for 200, or supposed to be worth 200, they sold for 100, and it's valid because once there was a public auction over there, then we know anybody who bought it for, that's the market value, basically. Okay, I guess we probably had better reason for tomorrow. Okay. You know, well, we may redo the mission tomorrow in order to, yeah.